Good morning. It is good to see everybody here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Today, I'm going to be looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, and pay attention to verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for what Jesus did endure on the cross. And we're so thankful, Father, that we don't have to go through this life alone. We have Jesus walking before us. We have your Holy Spirit inside of us, guiding us and strengthening us. And Father, our prayer today is that we will keep our eyes on Jesus, that in every situation, we will look to Him. And now, Heavenly Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, and don't let me speak anything that would be from my thoughts or my flesh. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I really believe this message today is probably going to hit home with a lot of us. Looking to Jesus, the only way we can make it through life. Last night, I had a late night call, and it's a call a lot of pastors don't ever want to receive of a suicide attempt. And it really should make one really look deep inside of themselves and ask this question. Do I look to Jesus? Do I really trust Him? Do I really follow Him at all cost? Do I give Him, do I give Him all of my burdens? Do I cast all of my cares upon Him? Because His Word says that if we cast, we should cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And as I am reflecting on this young lady from last night, I know she's not saved, and I know she needs Christ, and I know that her life needs to be turned around, but I want us to know today that we're going to face trials, we're going to face persecutions, we're going to face heaviness. I read in the Scripture in verse 2 where it says that Jesus endured the cross and He despised the shame. That means He paid the ultimate price for you and I. And if He did that, then we should be so thankful to Him every day. Our life should be founded and rooted upon everything centered around Jesus and His Word. And I say that because we have to look to Jesus in order to be saved. Because Jesus is the author of our salvation. Psalms 3 and verse 8 says that salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. What Jesus did on the cross, that's the only way you and I could be saved. You can't work your way to heaven. You can go to church. You can attend Sunday school. You can wear a cross around your neck. You can wear a Christian t-shirt. You can pray for people. You can do everything in the name of the Lord. But if you are not saved, you're not going to heaven. Salvation is only by accepting Jesus Christ. And Jesus told that to Nicodemus when he was questioning about salvation. He was saying that we have to be born again by the Spirit. But Jesus also said, no man comes to the Father but by me. And what Jesus was saying, he was saying, I am going to the cross and I'm going to endure everything for you. I'm going to pay the penalty of your sin. I am going to basically take all of your pain, your sickness and disease. I'm going to take all of the things that we should endure. Christ is saying, I'm taking that upon myself, and I'm going to go to the cross because I'm living my life to die for you. But once I die, I'm going to be raised on the third day in power and in great glory. And on the 40th day, Jesus ascended back to heaven, and he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Now, if he is the only way to get saved, then we shouldn't be looking at any other means or any other way of coming to Christ. You can't get there by all your good works. Everything that you try to do aside from Jesus to try and get to heaven, here's what a person's going to hear when they die. I never knew you, depart from me. See, and there's going to be a lot of people who will stand and say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? You know, didn't we feed the hungry? Well, I went and witnessed to these people. I served in the church. But because you never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you never trusted in him, you'll never make it through the gates of heaven. You have made a choice to be eternally separated from God the Father. And there's a lot of people being misled today in churches because there's a lot of guys in the pulpit preaching sermons, and they're telling people that if you'll just be a good old Joe, God's grace will cover your life and you're going to be all right. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. If Jesus said that he was the only way to get to the Father, then you cannot get to heaven. You can't get into heaven on roller skates. You can't get into heaven by taking the fastest jet plane through there. You can't get to heaven any other way but Jesus Christ. And Psalms 3:8 says it so good, that salvation belongs to the Lord. That all you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins on the cross, that he rose from the dead. If you will believe these things in your heart, and if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. And there's no other means to come to Jesus. He is also the finisher of our faith and our salvation. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, it's by faith that you come to the Lord. You don't just wake up one day and say, well, you know what, I think I'm going to get saved. It doesn't work that way. It takes the Holy Spirit of God working on an individual's heart. And here's why I say this. Because every single one of us has to realize that we are living in sin. And we have to know the things that we are doing are wrong. And we have to come to a realization that without Jesus, we are going to hell and that we will be eternally separated from God. And it comes to a point that the Lord has worked on our heart in such a strong way that by faith we step out and we say, Father, I trust you. Jesus, I want to make you my Lord and Savior. Because without faith, you're not going to make it even through this life. By faith, you're trusting God who sent His Son to save you of your sins by receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior and confessing Him. You are trusting Him by faith to secure your salvation. And I want everybody to listen to what I'm going to say. I hear so many people say to me, well, you know what? You could lose your salvation. That's baloney. Jesus came one time to die on the cross and one time to be raised from the dead and one time to ascend back into heaven. One time. Now, you're going to fall. We are imperfect. We are still going to sin. The devil is still at work trying to disrupt your life, trying to separate you from God because he doesn't want you to grow with the Lord in a relationship. So Satan will work at you day after day after day to try and pull you away because he doesn't want to see you go to heaven. He doesn't want to see you get close to the Lord. Because see, when we get close to the Lord, then the Lord can work in our life and we will be an effective witness to a lost and dying world. So if we have faith in Jesus, then it's time that we start living like it. Really, by the words we speak, by the way we think, by what's in our heart, we should live. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it takes faith to trust Jesus and what he did for you. Because when you receive that gift of salvation into your heart and life, you've been changed. The old man has passed away. The Bible says that everything has been made new. You've been given a brand new life in Christ. So what you once knew should be behind you, and you should never ever look back. You should never ever look back. We should keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Now, last night in this situation that's being dealt with, we sat there on the couch before going to bed, and Janine says, we need to pray. I said, yes, we do. We really do. And I said, but here's something else we need to remember as well. Even though something tragic happened this evening, we need to praise God. Because in all things, we are to praise Him, the good and the bad. So if we are looking to Jesus, we are drawing from Him a strength that you and I don't possess inside, but it gives us the ability that when we're enduring trials, we can praise the Lord. Do you know that when you look to heaven and you, now you don't have to lift your hands. I like to. I like to lift my hands because you know what? When a little child wants to be held, what does that little child do? It comes to its mommy or daddy and it holds, or somebody and holds up its hands like that, wants to be held. Oh, and you know what? I don't know. Like I said before, I like hugs. Man, I love to have a hug. It feels good to embrace somebody. But when I lift my hands to heaven, there's times that I'm doing that and I'm praising God, but I'm saying, sometimes, Father, I need you to hold me. Because I've been going through quite a week, and Lord, but I trust you by faith, and I'm going to lay everything, because if Jesus has died for me, it gives me every reason to live. I don't want to go through this life living a wimpy witness lifestyle. I want people to know that I am a child of the living God. And I want people to know that I love them. And I want people to know that salvation is very real, that their life can be different. And the only way that we could make a difference is when we look to Jesus. Now, we watched a movie. I don't know if a lot of you know who the Kendrick brothers are, but they've made a lot of good Christian movies. And we watched a movie called, it's called Like Arrows. And it's about a mom and dad who were raising their kids. And they were basically doing it as a job. They looked at parenthood as a job. Well, they raised one and he's gone. And that child had a lot of turmoil and turbulence in his life. The next daughter, same way. And they weren't really showing them the love of Christ. They weren't pouring Jesus into them like they should. And finally, their family hit the wall. And the mom and dad realized, we've been doing everything the wrong way. And in the movie, and this is such a good example, the mother and father meet with those three kids that are still left in the house. And they say to them, we have done everything wrong. Please forgive us. We're going to start doing this. We're going to start reading the Bible together every night. We're going to start praying together every day. And we're going to pour Jesus into you. And we want you to have a good life. We want you to know you're loved. And that's what Christ is expecting of us today as Christian people, to pour ourselves, pour Him into the lives of others around us. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith and our salvation. We need to look to Jesus to be faithful. And we got to be faithful to stay in the battle that we're fighting. We fight a battle every day. And I said this before. I hear a lot of people say, well, I sure wish I had this person or that person's life. Man, they got it so easy. And now that perspective is brought on by this. Because when you just look at somebody and you look at the outside and they're smiling and everything's all going good, and you think, man, they got a great life. And you see their house, and man, they got a nice house, and maybe the husband's got a really good job and he makes a good salary. And we start comparing ourselves. And boy, I sure would like to be, I wish I had their life. And then we start comparing and contrasting. And I want you to know this. If you could be in the shoes of that person you're wanting to be, you would see that their life is just as difficult as yours. And that's why Christ wants us to keep our eyes on Him, in order that we be faithful. Because we are in a battle day after day. We're fighting things that a lot of people don't know about. And the Bible says that, I read that to you last week in John chapter 16, in this world you'll have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, if He says be of good cheer, does that mean you should go around being a grouch? No way. Now, if the Lord tells us to be joyful, then don't you think He means what He says? When Jehoshaphat and his army were going off to battle, they were a small army going up against thousands of highly trained soldiers. And when they're going to battle, Jehoshaphat, let's start singing. Let's praise God. They didn't go to battle saying, well, we're going to get our hind ends kicked today. Well, I could just see it. We'll all get slaughtered. If that's the attitude that they would have had, they would have met their end for sure. But they were going into a battle, and they were singing, and they were praising God. And when they got to the site where the battle was supposed to be, God had already destroyed the other army. God took care of the problem that laid before them. And that's an example for you and I, that God will take care of the problems in our lives. He will slay our enemy if we praise Him, if we call out to Him, if we trust Him by faith. See, all this ties together very well. And when we're in battle, we need to be steadfast. And do you know what steadfast means? Anybody know what steadfast means? It means that you remain who you are, where you are. So if you're rooted in Christ, then the evidence ought to be there. The spiritual gifts ought to be available. The fruits, you should be bearing good fruit in your life. But in the midst of trials, be steadfast, which means you stand your ground, you call on God, you pray fervently, and you trust Him. And even though a battle may rage on, you continue to praise God and you continue to be joyful, because when you respond to God in that way, when you respond to God in faith, He will respond to your need. But now listen to this. God responds to your need in what? His timing. Now, there was a time when Lazarus was sick. Now, Jesus was in another place, and Mary and Martha, they was wanting Jesus there right now to heal Lazarus before he died. And Jesus knew already that Lazarus was going to die. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus tarried, stayed where he was at, because he wanted to show them who he was, that he had power. So after Lazarus died and they put him in a tomb, he'd been in the tomb for about 3 days, and then Jesus comes along, and Lazarus' family says, "Well, Lord, if you'd only been here, well, he'd be alive today." You know what Jesus said? He's going to live. Basically, Jesus said, "I'm going to bring him back. I'm going to call him out of the tomb." And even though Jesus may not move in our life when we think he should, his timing is everything. It really is. When God operates on his timetable and we allow him to do that in our life, I'm telling you what, things will add up. But when we start asking for things now, and we get so impatient, I have seen times where people got what they wanted when they wanted it, and it didn't work out, and it was basically a mess in their life. So when Jesus showed up, he called Lazarus out of the tomb, and it was funny because their faith was so weak at that time, and Jesus says, "Well, roll back the stone," and they're like, "But Lord, he's been dead for 3 days. He's going to stink." Well, Jesus knew that, but Jesus was getting ready to show them who he was. He was getting ready to show his power. And when he called Lazarus forth from the dead, I always imagine this. Could you imagine Lazarus having to scoot feet out because they had him all wrapped up? But he come out in those bandages, in the grave clothes that they call it, all wrapped up, and he walks out, because Jesus is showing that when he is on the scene, everything is in his time and for a reason, and it all works out for his glory and our good. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Here it is, steadfast. unmovable, always abounding. What? I like that. Always abounding. It doesn't say sometimes abounding or every now and then abounding. It says always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So God's wanting us to be unmovable and steadfast. We used to sing a song. I can't remember it, so I'm not even going to try to butcher the song by singing it. But in this song we sang when I was a kid, I shall not be moved. That's it. Yeah. I ain't going to try to sing it. I don't want to butcher it. But I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Well, we know that if a tree is getting a good water source, it's going to have a strong root, and that tree is going to be strong and unmovable, right? You could go out there and push on it all day, and it's unmovable. And if we draw, if we have roots in God, in Jesus Christ, His Son, and if we have roots in Him, we're drawing from that eternal water, that the eternal life that He gives us, that Jesus promised we would never thirst again. And we are drawing from Him, so we're going to be unmovable and steadfast. I'll share this with you. I went through a point in my life many years ago where I was pastoring a church and everything was going great. Everything was wonderful. And the day came that, well, I won't go that route. Here's what I'm going to say. I ended up by myself. I ended up not knowing why things was going on the way they did. And you know what? I lost the house I was living in. And it wasn't before long I had $100 to my name. I was all of a sudden from circumstances in debt. And I could have easily laid down on the ground and said, I quit. I give up. This ain't worth it. But being in Christ and being His child, I am supposed to be steadfast and unmovable. And I tell you what, it wasn't easy. But I said, Lord, I trust You. I trust You. And you know what? I went out and I got a job. It didn't pay much. It wasn't very glamorous. But you know what I did? I put all I had into that job for those employers. And then they went out of business. And here I was, no job. And I thought, Lord, what's going on? Why? And the Lord said to me, do you trust Me? Do you really trust Me? And there for a while, I kind of got angry and said, I'm done. I ain't going to preach anymore. I ain't going to serve You anymore. I'm done. I've had enough of this, Lord. Stupidest mistake I ever made in my life, because everything, I started coming back up and then I slid right back down. And then finally, at the end of it all, I found my plate, found myself on my back looking up. The only place I could look was up in that hole. And God says, are you ready to do it My way now? Or you want to keep going Your way? Keep digging a hole, son. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And had to repent and get right with God. And I tell you what the Lord done. I had a preacher told me, you'll never preach again for all that you've been through. Everything you've been, you'll never preach again. You ain't even worth it. And I said, get behind me, Satan. That's devil talking. But here's what God's done in my life. God had restored my life, and God gave me back more than what I had before. Now, I said I'm not rich, and I'm not talking possessions. I'm not talking about money and wealth. That's not what I'm referring to. But here's what God gave me back. God gave me way more love than I ever had before. God gave me more praise than I ever had before. God gave me more blessings than I ever had before, because I've chose to remain steadfast and unmovable. I can go through this life and gripe and complain, and you know what? It ain't going to get me nowhere. And God's not going to move. But if I give Him my all, He's going to help me move forward. He's going to release some brakes, and we're going to take off and go forward. How many of you, and I want to say this, how many of you have been through something so really terrible in your life, and you thought, I'll never make it? With Christ, you can make it. You can. He's our hope. He is our strength. He is our joy. He's the one who will dry our tears. He's the one who will give us a reason to live. And also looking to Jesus, I'm going to cover this real quick and then I'm going to close. When we look to Jesus, it helps us to keep our focus on Him. And I'm going to say this, if I had to preach this every Sunday, I'd preach it, because I need it and we all need it. Read our Bible. Study to show thyself approved. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Read a devotional. I believe I heard Mac say this morning that Secret Places was really good today. I love devotionals. I don't know about anybody else, but man, I love a good devotional, because God puts things on people's hearts that when we see them, it will speak to us. Go to church! Wow. We are the church, but we should be in God's house every time the doors are open. We should never say, I'm too tired today. Well, I got other activities going on. I'll go next week. We should take every opportunity to be in God's house. Serve others. Listen to good Christian music. I mean good Christian music. Stuff that comes from the Lord. Sing hymns. Listen to WBGL, whatever, WXC, whatever Christian radio station is on. Fill yourself, but then ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I think we all know the answer to that. And I think we all know the way that we should walk. So I hope and pray today that this sermon has inspired every one of us to look to Jesus at all cost. And I know this. Now, I was kidding Bob earlier. I told Bob this morning, I said, now, Bob, I got all my tools sharpened up, and I'm ready to work on that hip for you in case. Yeah, I just kid with him, but because Bob knows I love him. But I can tell you this. I know that Bob Thomas will go into that surgery this week trusting his Lord to get him through it. And that's exactly what he's going to do, Bob. I believe that with all my heart. We as a church have to look unto Jesus if we're going to grow. And you know what happens with growth? Change. We have to accept it. But we have to look to Jesus. You can't look at yourself and you can't look at other people in the body. You have to look to Jesus. That's the only way we're going to make it.